just, though, I mean, in my mind, that word that comes to my mind when I feel this way is just, I'm full. My heart is full. Well, that's the Apostle Paul in verse 3. His heart is full when he writes these words. And we read them sometimes without passion or emotion, and we don't see the sense in which it was written. But imagine Paul contemplating the joys of salvations, the blessings of salvations, and he knows what he's about to write. He knows what's on his heart. And before he dives in, explains the spiritual blessings that God has given us in Jesus Christ, before he goes into this list of all these blessings, he has to stop and thank God. He's thanking God, if you would, before he gets into his message. And he begins by saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus." He thanks God. He's blessing God for the reality of his message. And I don't know if we realize that. We think of the gospel, we think of truth as concepts. You know, that's kind of the way philosophers think about their philosophy. It doesn't necessarily relate to real life experiences. It's just something to think about, something to entertain your curiosity, and you just think about it and you feel smart and wise. You feel like you know something. But that's not the gospel. The gospel's real. It's based upon reality. It's based upon a real God and a real Jesus and a real Calvary, a real salvation, a real forgiveness, a real heaven and a real hell. These are real realities. And Paul put it this way: the things that are not seen are more eternal or more real than the things that are seen. And the Apostle Paul realizes that these spiritual realities are truly there. And his heart is overwhelmed as he's considering these things. And all he can do is say, "Bless God. Bless him. Thank God. Praise God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." So he's starting off his message with the application. He can't even wait till the message is over before he blesses God. And that's the objective of this message. At the end of this message, if we're not all within our heart praising God, if we're not all just going, "I couldn't be more full than I am right now," then you haven't heard the message. So you can evaluate if you're hearing God or not. Not me. I may do a poor job at delivering this, but who cares? It's real. The things that I'm saying are realities, and if you understand that, I believe your heart will relieve this place rejoicing, praising God. And so think about that as we get into this message. You come in here, I want you to consider this. As you come into this, you sit down, you're bringing in your cares, your concerns, you're bringing in your issues that you are facing, the problems that you got to deal with on Monday and Tuesday. To what degree are you satisfied? To what degree is your heart full? Are you empty? Are you discontent? You know what happens when you're discontent? You're grumpy. And you fight with your spouse. You fight with almost anybody. Or at least you're bitter. When you're discontent. That's what James says. Where does fights and wars come from among you? Where does this disunity come from? Why are we so critical to one another? I'll tell you where it comes from, James says. It comes from within your heart. It comes from the fact that you want things that you don't have. The fact that you're not satisfied. It leaves you miserable. I want us to come to the conclusion, me, myself, but the rest of us, all of us, to come to the conclusion we need nothing else. In fact, you can take this world. I'm satisfied. In fact, if you can't say you can have it, you're not going to be content. I'm talking about even you can have my health. You're going to be fearful because you're going to lose your health. You're fearful you may lose your wealth. You may be fearful because you're going to lose this or that. But if you can say you can have it all, my heart is full. Thanks be to God. That's where we want to get to. Well, that's where Paul is or was when he wrote this. And what we're going to look at is basically there's four blessings in this verse. You got the blesser, that's God. You got the blessed, that's us. You got the blessing, then you got the response of the blessed. The blessed blesses the blesser. So here you have Paul, who's the blessed one, blessing God for his blessing. It's amazing, a lot of blessings. And if you don't find yourself blessed, if you don't see yourself as extremely blessed, then your eyes are not focused upon the gospel. Let's refocus our hearts, our attentions, our minds, so we can, you know, leave this place praising the Lord, blessing the Lord. First, let's look at the blesser. Who's the blesser? Well, it says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the blesser is God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus has always been the Son of God. He's the eternal Son of God. So in one sense, as the Son, He's the eternal Son, and the Father is the eternal Father. But I don't think that's the context that he's speaking about God being his Father. For Jesus, God is the Father in two ways. One, from the aspect that Jesus is part of the triune being, but also the fact that Jesus is a man, and God is his Father in the same way God is our Father. And he's speaking in this context as a man, the Father of Jesus, the man, the Son of Mary. See, Jesus is our brother. He's one of us. He's human. He's fully human. And this is why Jesus said, he said to Mary, do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Isn't that amazing reality? That Jesus Christ is one of us. He's our older brother. Now, he is God. He is Lord. We worship him as God. But he's a man. And God the Father is the Father of Jesus Christ in this sense, in the same way he's our Father. He's our God. He's our Heavenly Father. And this is huge, that we'll see that the blessings come through Jesus Christ, the man, from the Father, from God himself. The God and Father, and look at these words, it calls the Lord. Our Lord, the Father of our Lord. He may be our older brother, but he is our King. He is our Lord. He's our Master. We have surrendered everything to the sovereign power and majesty of the man Jesus Christ. It says, our Lord Jesus. The word Jesus refers to his humanity. Christ refers to the fact that he's the anointed one of the Holy Spirit. He's the Messiah. This is an amazing reality of our Savior, that he is Lord, he is man, and he is anointed one. And all spiritual blessings flow from the Father of our Lord, from the God of our Master, God the Father. You see, God the Father is the great benefactor. Every good thing comes from the Father of lights, James tells us. See, God the Father is the source of every natural blessing. Now, we're going to get into the spiritual blessings in a minute, but He's the Father of all natural and earthly blessings. How would you like to be responsible to provide for every living creature? I mean, sometimes it feels difficult to provide for four little kids. How would you like to take care of all the animals and every human being and everything that has life? How would you have to be responsible to feed them on a daily basis? But that's what the Bible says about the Father. Psalms 104, all creatures look to you and you give them food in their due season. Psalms 136, He gives food to every creature. Psalm 145, the eyes of all look to you and you give them food in due season. 147, Psalm 147, He provides food for the animals and for the young ravens when they call. I mean, what good thing comes to us or that is here in this universe that hasn't flowed down to us from God the Father? He provides for the animals. He provides for you. He told us not to worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink and how we're going to pay this bill and that bill. I know we worry about that like the Gentiles and the people that don't know God. They worry about that. But I know we worry about that. But Jesus says, don't worry about that. He takes care of the lilies of the valley and He takes care of the birds of the air. I mean, He's feeding everything and everybody. Don't worry. Your Father knows that you have need of these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these provisions that you worry about will be provided for, be taken care of. You can trust God here. He's good at taking care of everybody. He's the great benefactor. I mean, think about what that means. That everything that we have comes from God. 1 Corinthians 4, what have you received that you haven't first received? Everything that we have has come to us from God. And not only does He give us the natural blessings, and He gives it the rain upon the just and the unjust, He takes care of the world, He takes care of His people, He takes care of the people who are thankful, He takes care of the people who are unthankful, that are full of ingratitude, those who take advantage of Him. Think about that. You know, we help someone out and they don't say thank you. And we say, well, I'm not going to do that again. But God continues to care for the unthankful. Continues to provide for the world. Continues to give them what they need. And they use those resources to curse Him. But He continues out of compassion and love provide for these wicked people. He continues to provide for us. But not only does He provide all the natural blessings, our life, our health, our provisions, our income, everything we have comes from God who takes care of us richly. And by the way, none of us have any complaint about being poor. You say, well, Jeff, I'm poor. No, you're not. We have no concept of poverty. Tell you the truth. Well, it's rough, you know. It's rough losing your water over the week. No, we have no idea the concept of what it means to have a rough week. God has been good to us and is so good to us and all these natural things. But not only does He provide the natural blessings, He's provided for us spiritual blessings. That's what this verse is talking about. So do we realize how much God the Father is taking advantage of? You know what? One of the first sins that we've committed was ungratefulness. That we knew there was a God, but we weren't thankful. We didn't go back and say, thank you, God, for this. And that's where a lot of our complaining comes from. and our grumbling is because we're just looking at what we thought we should have and not thankful for what we already have or have been given. And we complain. And the Bible talks about complaint as a great sin against God's sovereignty. Complaining and murmuring, it doesn't do your soul any good, and it doesn't glorify God. Every time you complain, it's like a slap in the face of God and saying, you know, God, you're just not good enough. That's what the Israelites did when they were led out of Egypt. Where's the food? Where's the water? What have you done? I complained and complained and complained, and God was feeding them manna. And when they didn't have water, he took a rock, the last place you would look for water. There's no water in a rock. God made water flow from the rock. And it flowed wherever they went. God took care of them. They should have been worshiping God for their salvation from Egypt, the deliverance and the mighty miracle and for the provisions. But they just sat there and complained for 40 years until they died. God hates ungratefulness. And he continues to provide for people. We need to recognize that we owe everything to God. We're beggars. We're all beggars. We're all powerless. You know, it would take 2 seconds for you to go bankrupt. 2 seconds for your world to be turned down. Look at what happened to Job, right? It took one day. The wealthiest man probably alive in his day, he went from the wealthiest to probably the most wretched person in the sense of having nothing. 24-hour period. So, well, that can't happen to me. Yes, it could. It could happen quick. And I'm on a side note, I'm going to realize right that tomorrow our church could be split in 5 divisions. Tomorrow. If it's not by the grace of God. God takes care of us. We owe everything to Him. Thus, not only as we'll get to the end of the sermon, be full of thankfulness and gratitude and our hearts filled with just like, wow, why would God do this for us? We should emulate God. Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. He continues to bless those who curse Him. And we're called to be like God and help others out. Help give what God has given us to help those who are in need. And we're to help those, even those who are taking advantage of us. Those who we would say are our enemies. This is what God is. He's a giver. And let me say before I move on, as we look at who's this blesser, who is the blesser, who's the one that blesses everybody and blesses us in particular as His people. You know, there's nothing we have to give Him. I mean, what do we have? What do we have that He hasn't given us? Why does He need us? That's the point. Why does He give to us so that, you know, well, one day you're going to return the favor? No, He knows we have nothing. I mean, we're just completely beggars, and we're always will be beggars. So there's no advantage in God aiding us and helping us and blessing us and supplying us our needs. There's no reason for Him to do it. There's not an ounce of selfishness in God. He just loves. He just gives. He just bestows. He's a blesser. In fact, He's the great blesser. There's no one like Him. There's none like God. There's none like the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the greatest of all beings, the most blessed of all beings. No wonder the Apostle Paul is just saying, blessed be this God. Blessed. I mean, I'm glad Allah is not God. I'm glad pantheism is not true. I'm glad that these other idols are just that, made up fictions. I'm glad the real God is the God of the Bible, because that God is altogether beautiful. He's altogether good. He's altogether worthy of our praise and our worship. There's no fault in him. There's nothing we can say, well, God, you're just mean, or God, you've done that wrong, or God, you're just not smart, or you're unwise, or you're not doing things according to the things that should be done. We think that because we're selfish. We think that because we're unwise. We think that because we're self-centered. But when we can step back and look at it from God's perspective, we have to surrender to the will and the wisdom of God, and we go, God, you do all things right. And I'm sorry for questioning you in my mind, in my thoughts, in my heart. I'm sorry that I've been unthankful. I'm sorry that I've complained this week or this day. You're good. Altogether good. You're blessed. You blessed me. I'm richly blessed. Now, who is the blesser? It's God our Father. Now, who's the blessed? It says, who blessed us in Christ. We're talking about spiritual blessings, so it's not that the whole world's blessed. There's a distinction between those who are blessed with spiritual blessings and those who are cursed. This is, you know, there's natural blessings that go globally, the just and the unjust, the good and the evil. There are certain blessings that haven't flown universally to everybody. There are special blessings, and they're only for those who are in Christ. For those who are in Christ, it says, who blessed us in Christ. This preposition, in, simple little word. In fact, it's just a preposition. It is the most important word in the book of Ephesians. In fact, you can't understand the very theme and thesis of the book of Ephesians without understanding this preposition in. What does it mean? Well, think of Jesus Christ as a treasure room. A room that's locked. There's no doors to get in. There's no doors to get out. No windows. It's just a cube. There's no way to get in it. No way to get out of it. It's a treasure room. In that treasure room, you've got gold and silver. You've got riches untold inside there. Outside that room, you have nothing but desolation, curse, emptiness. Well, what is that treasure room? That treasure room is Jesus Christ. And if you're in him, if you're in the room, you're rich. If you're outside of that room, you're poor. You're desolate. Now, let's read verses 4 through 11, or 4 through 13. And we're not preaching on these texts, we're just looking how important this preposition in actually is in this context. It says in verse 4, even as he chose us in him. So our fact that we've been chosen is something that took place inside of this treasure room in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us before for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us. I'm waiting for you guys to say in the beloved. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of his trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth as plain for the fullness of time to unite all things through heaven, things in earth and things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of glory in him. You also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. What we see here is all these spiritual blessings, a whole list of them. We're going to get into what these spiritual blessings are in the weeks to come. But we see that every single spiritual blessing is to be found only and exclusively and solely in the person of Jesus Christ. That means that outside of Christ, there's no spiritual blessings. Inside of Christ, there's all spiritual blessings. Either you're fully rich or you're fully broke. There's not a little parsing out, a little bit here, a little bit here. Well, I've got this one, but I don't have that. I'm waiting to get this. No, it's either you're joint heirs with Christ or you're broke. So who are the blessed ones? It's not those outside of Christ. It's not you who are lost in their you who are lost in your sins, you who do not know the Lord, you who are alienated from Jesus Christ, you're not with Christ, you're not in Christ, you're not united to Christ, you're alone, you're by yourself, you're separated from Christ. And on the great judgment day, you're going to have to face God by yourself. You don't have an advocate. You don't have a lawyer. You don't have anyone to take up your cause, your case. You're going to have to face God in your sins by yourself, and you're broke. That was all of us until we were placed into Christ, until we were united to Jesus Christ. You see, these spiritual blessings are life, righteousness. Do you think there's life outside of Christ? Do you think there's righteousness outside of Christ? What we learn is the spiritual blessings are actually Jesus Christ himself. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Jesus says, I am the life. Whatever spiritual blessings that we have is actually the person of Jesus Christ. He is the treasure. So you can't have riches outside of having the person of Jesus. You can't have salvation without having Christ himself. He is salvation. He is our righteousness. He is our life. He is our resurrection. He's our everything. That's why he's the treasure. That's why he is the blessing. All spiritual blessings come to us in the person of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to receive these spiritual things if you're outside of him. This is why, if you're lost, you need to desperately look for Jesus. You've got to have him. You've got to have him. You can't face God alone. Who are the blessed? We need to remember where we come from poverty. We come from a life of sin. We come from a life of disgrace. We were the enemies of God, and now we are the blessed of God. Why do we have any room to complain? Where can we go, God, you just haven't been good enough to me? Of all the people in the world, there's just few who find the way of life. Narrow is this way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Do you realize that you're among just a small amount of people who are in Christ compared to the great masses of those outside of Christ? Why you? Why you? What did you ever do? But God just chose to bless you, to love you, to lavish upon you, to give you his son, and all the riches and treasures that are found in him. That leads me to the blessing. We've looked at the blesser. Who are the blessed? Let's look at this blessing. What is it that we've been blessed with? What is this blessing? It says, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It doesn't say he's blessed us with every earthly blessing or physical blessing in earthly places. So a lot of things you and I don't have. And we may not ever have. This is not health and wealth and prosperity. That's not what he's promised us in Christ. He hasn't promised us the health. We have Joe Tigreen that is on the verge of death. But he's a blessed man. We have people who have seemingly unconverted people that could live another 50, 60 years, but they're very cursed. And all their life is just going to bring a greater judgment upon them. It'd be better if they died now than live another day. It's not physical health that God has promised you or I. You and I may die tomorrow or today. God hasn't promised us wealth either. Physical treasures, that's not what he's promised you. You know why preachers preach health and wealth, prosperity? It's because that's what people want to hear. They wouldn't preach it if there wasn't a market for it. But we may be quick to criticize them, but we like that message too. Ask you kids here, would you want one candy bar today, right now, after the service, one candy bar if you want it today, or do you want to wait till next month and I'll give you five? What would you take? One today or wait a whole month and get five? Smart kids would say, give me five later. I'll wait for the greater treasure. But the selfish, impulsive person says, give me my treasure now. The prodigal wanted his inheritance now. I want my riches now. I want my prosperity now. I want it now. I want to have the income that I deserve. I want to be able to live comfortably. I want to be able to have a retirement plan. I want all these things. I want it, dear God, should you not give these to me? But God hasn't promised us these things. He may give them to you. He may withhold them from you. But we need to ask ourselves, what would we rather have, treasures on earth or treasures in heaven? And the reason we are prone to the prosperity gospel is because we prove it sometimes by our lack of giving our finances. Though Jesus says, lay up your treasures in heaven. But we are so prone to lay up our treasures on earth because we value the here and now above the treasures in heavenly places. But here's something wonderful. God has given us not something temporal. He's not given us something that somebody can steal from us. He has not given us something that can be taken away when the stock market crashes. He's given something to us that no one can take. He's given something to us that no one can steal. He's given something to us that never perishes. It's an unfading crown of glory. He's given us eternal life. He's given us spiritual realities that are in heavenly places that none of this world can have and take away. You may be persecuted in the future. And it may be our own government that persecutes you and I. But what can man do? The most they can do is take our bodies. But the Lord says, do not fear those who can kill the body. But fear the one who can kill body and soul. You see, what are these spiritual blessings? We can see in verse 4 through 10, we've already read that text, it's being elected. He chose us in Him. We've been chosen to be holy and blameless in Him. We've been predestinated in Him. We've been adopted in Him. We have been redeemed in Him, verse 7. And verse 7, we've been forgiven in Him. We've got these spiritual realities that are eternal realities. If you are forgiven in Jesus Christ, there's nothing or no one can take that from you. Life or death cannot take away your righteousness that's in Christ Jesus. This is such a far more weighty blessing that we don't understand the glory and the blessing and the treasures that we have in the person of Jesus Christ. And we're not waiting to receive these things. We already have them. Friday morning, I woke up, took a shower, woke up, and worst possible thing I thought could ever happened. Because our hot water froze like many people's did across Conway. I know that because the insurance company told me that. I woke up and have you ever seen a deluge where it's just raining? Have you ever seen that inside your house? You know what kind of feeling you have when you're watching a thunderstorm inside of your home, how that makes you feel? Your heart sinks. And I remember opening the door. I went, no. No. I rushed down. I have 3 acres. It's not a lot of land, but my house is in the back part of the land, and the water meter is at the very front of it, down a hill, in snow. And I mean, where is that thing? The water, snow's covered it up. I go with my little ratchet. I mean, I'm going down as fast as I can to cut this water off. And I'm running, going, no, 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 the whole time going down there. It's like my house is being destroyed. And by the way, it's happening in my garage, and that is the warehouse for Free Grace Press. I'm running. And I can't get that little wrench to undo that frozen thing. I just couldn't get it. And I'm like, and there's a moment there you just want to go, just let it destroy the house. You just want to, like, I can't do anything. It's coming down. You just want to just walk away. But thankfully, that moment just lasted a second. Then the more wise moment come up, call Elvis. And I said, Elvis, he regrets moving into the neighborhood. I said, Elvis, you got to come and you got something. Turn this water off. You got to come quick. Well, Katie came, Elvis came, and then some other friends came. They're drying off my books, opening up boxes, fixing the water leak, fixing a meal for us that night. And on the way home from eating a hot meal, all the water's fixed, I walked into my house after it's all over, and I looked at Letha, I said, this has been the most blessed day I've ever had. I'd rather have good friends than all those books. I'd rather have good friends and a good house. I'd rather have something that has way more value, way more importance than materialistic things that are here than God. I've got to eyewitness something more blessed, more precious to me than what I thought was a tragedy. Brothers and sisters, what I'm saying is what we have in Jesus Christ outstrips any difficulties that we're facing in life. You have not only your saints and your brothers and sisters in the Lord that love you, you have Jesus Christ who loves you. You have God, and He allows bad things to happen, right? But listen, He's still blessed in those bad things that happen. He is so good, and He drives us away from this world, and so that we might not love this world, our hearts might not be attached to this world, that our hearts might cling to the person of Jesus Christ and rejoice in the things that we already have in Him. And listen, doesn't mean that these spiritual blessings are not one day going to be physical blessings, because we're going to have a physical body resurrected. We're going to have a new heavens and a new earth. But the difference is that these physical realities that are coming are going to be eternal. He's going to wipe away all of our tears, and the things that we have, we already possess, we already have the deed to it, we already own them in Jesus Christ, all of them. We don't have to work for the rest of them. We already have them as a gift. We have them forever, and no one can take them away. 1 Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept for you in heaven." Brothers and sisters, you're so blessed. You're so rich. I'm looking at the richest people in the universe right now, you people. You've been made joint heirs with the living God. What an amazing thing. It says, these blessings, it says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings. You know, I don't have my resurrected body yet, but it's already mine. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to go, well, okay, I'm giving you these five gifts and we'll see how you manage them. If you manage them well, I'll give you another one. No, we got them all in Christ. I just hadn't got the resurrected body yet. I'm waiting on it, but it's already promised. And how I know it's a certain thing is He's already given me the guarantee. He's already given me the down payment. He's already given me the Holy Spirit as proof that the rest is coming. 2 Peter 1 says, by His divine power, He's granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's not something you're lacking. You say, well, I'm not just a strong Christian. I just wish I had something more. I'm just lacking in this. No, everything you need for life and godliness has already been given to you in Jesus Christ. We are rich. This is the blessing. Now, here we come to the conclusion. What should our response be? I mean, here we have God, who's the blesser, who has given us all things in Christ Jesus. We're the blessed ones. And this blessing is eternal, riches untold. We have no comprehension of the glories that will be revealed in us and given to us. What should our response be? How should we respond? Now, hopefully it's in our heart that we respond. We should do what Paul did. We should bless God. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do we have to repay God? Nothing. Just a grateful heart. Just thankfulness. You know, sometimes when someone's trying to bless you, I've had that happen. Leith and I have had that happen recently where someone blessed us. And you know you're too poor to actually compensate for it. What can you do? I mean, it's like, what? How do you return? How do you return this? How do you actually? If you try to get a gift in return, it just seems like it makes it cheap. You're like, that's just not sufficient. Sometimes all you can do is just say thank you. Thank you. Could we at least not do that to God? Blessed be God. Do I not have ample reasons to praise God and not complain? Psalm 66, blessed are God. Bless our God, O peoples, and sound his praises abroad. Psalm 68, O God, you are awesome. The God of Israel himself gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Daniel 2, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belongs to him. Revelation 4, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Revelation 5, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Psalm 145, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I'm telling you, we have a God that we should worship, we should praise, we should thank, we should put our gratitude every moment of every day because he's been so, so good to you and I. Dear Lord, we bless your name, we praise you, we thank you for your salvation and for your gift in Christ Jesus. We're unworthy recipients, but God, you're a good God. You're a great God. You're an awesome God. We bless your name. We praise you with all that is within us. Amen. We have a couple baptisms, and so if you haven't picked up your communion cup, on your way out, we're gonna do communion after the baptism. And take a hymnal with you, please.